Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities. And what's more, you, listening right now, have an opportunity to win two main floor tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And this morning, let's turn to a large page of our symphony scrapbook. It has to be a large one because it has to do with one of the giants of the orchestra, the double bass, or sometimes called the contrabass, or the bass viol, or the string bass. And we have with us Mr. Vladimir Klina, member of the bass section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Klina, I think our members of our listening audience would like to have you identify that passage and perhaps play a little more of it.
Well, the passage is from Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, the C minor symphony, and there's the Allegro movement, and this is quite interesting, and we have a nice little rapid passage that really gives the bassist a little workout, which I would like to play.
And we'd like to hear it. Quite an active scherzo. I think it was, although the bass has a long history, I think it was Beethoven who was the first to see the real possibilities of your instrument. And I believe that was because of a famous bass player who was a member of his orchestra by the name of Dragonetti.
Oh, yes.
Who was able to play even the most rapid cello passages on the bass. And I think it might be interesting to mention that the instrument that was originally used mainly to duplicate the cello parts, I believe, an octave lower.
That is right.
And hence it got its name of double bass. I think you've given us some illustrations of its deep and heavy tone, which can be gloomy as well as somewhat humorous. It wasn't it Berlioz who, talking about that, was it the Fifth Symphony, who likened the passage of the given to the bass viols as the happy gambling of elephants?
That is true.
I think it was Berlioz who made that comment. And, of course, the bass does form a solid foundation for the harmonic structure of orchestra music. But do you ever have a chance to play a real tune by yourselves in the bass section?
Well, we do have some opportunities to play, but there are very few and far between. There's not really much in the melodic line to do.
But I wonder if you have any passage that you'd like to play for us that will show the possible tunefulness of a double bass.
Well, I have here the opening of the Goldmark Symphony, which is quite melodious, and I would say it is cute.
That's the country wedding?
That is right, yes, the country wedding symphony.
I wonder
and
if we could...
it's the opening march, and all the basses play together. That is really a bit of a trick to play together with 10 basses. It's very soft and quite delicate.
Now, if we could hear it on your bass. I'd like to ask something, a question or two about your instrument. Notice you have a 5-string bass. There are several members of the of your section that have five-string basses, and the
yes.
other ones that have four strings have added a what they call a machine to give
right,
the effect of the of the fifth string.
Yeah, it's an extension for the E string, which allows the playing of string. It allows the playing of notes down to the low C.
Yeah, but you have a string for that purpose.
We have a separate string.
And you prefer the five-string bass?
Well, I do, I tell you, because there is no compromise. We do not favor any string, or we don't have to make one string serve the purpose of two. They all have separate tensions. Now, I like to have the low C because it has the timbre, it has the proper tension, and it gives the right kind of color and vibration. I think it sounds a lot fuller.
Could you give us a passage that would show us the effect of that low?
Oh yes,
string?
I have a passage here from Zarathustra, one of the famous passages. It's sort of a fugue. It's played by eight basses, and it is introduced first by the basses playing the low C, and then it is followed in turn by the upper register and so on until there are four different voices combined and playing together. It's really an ominous sounding melody. It really gets under your skin.
Really effective. That's from Strauss's Thus Spikes.
Yes.
I wonder if we could hear that.
I will try. I don't know how it will sound, but I will do the best I can. It's very low. And then it is picked up by the next basis. Well, we continue with a pattern that is always underlying the other instruments as they enter, and they all have their piece to say, and they interweave with one another. It is quite an experience.
I should think when one of those strings breaks, it would cause quite a commotion. Have you ever had that experience in orchestra career?
Yes, but it is not as most people think. Most people think because the bass has such big strings that it would make an enormous bang, but it is not so. It's hardly any more louder than I would think a cello is. It is not so noisy.
Are those gut strings?
Yes, Mr. Kuiper. These are gut strings, all excepting the low C, which, because of the necessity, is made of wire. We need a little tighter firmer string so as to get a better quality.
Have they ever introduced wire strings to the rest of the bass?
They have been using quite a few strings, but I myself prefer the gut strings. I think they have a softer, more beautiful quality. It's not, there is no metallic sound, and it sounds nice.
I noticed that the use of the bass has been enlarged during the last, say, 15 years or so by its adoption into jazz bands, jazz orchestras.
Well, that is true, yes. They've been, well, it is longer than 15 years. I remember, well, back as far as I can remember that I've played bass, well, they've used the basses in dance orchestras. And of course, their work has improved also. They also incorporated the five-string bass, the so-called dance bass for players that don't know much about their positions. You see, they have the high C, whereas we have the low C. And they can play very high notes with very little effort, whereas we have to really get down there and work for those notes. And they're quite awkward to play sometimes.
I notice sometimes you players stand, and sometimes you sit on your high chairs that specially
yes.
built for you.
That is true. I don't sit. That is, I do have a stool there. We have all been given beautiful stools. They're just a beautiful picture there, and they're comfortable. But when it comes to playing, especially a bass like this, where we have such a sweep of the bow from the upper G down to the C. Well, it is impossible, because if I should sit on that stool, I couldn't manipulate the bass. For concert work, I always stand.
Now, do you have in the bass the same technical, that I refer to it as tricks or devices that they have in the violin and the viola and the cello, such things as tremolo and pizzicata, and harmonics?
Yes, we have. We do all of those things. Of course, perhaps not as often as the violins and cellos, but we do have quite a bit of work in tremolo. And, well, of course, there's a lot of pizzicato work.
I wonder if you could illustrate pizzicato and...
Yes, I have here...
Tremolo.
I have here a passage, the opening passage from Zarathustra. It's close to the beginning. And it begins with a tremolo and ends up with a beautiful high pizzicato.
What if we could have that?
I shall try.
Do you use harmonics in the bass and orchestra music?
Yes, they are used quite a bit in works. Mr. Ravel used quite a bit of harmonics in his compositions. And also in Debussy works, more modern works encompass harmonics. But they are not played too often.
Well, is that because they're rather awkward to produce on such a large instrument?
Well, they do not respond as well as they are. That is, they do not respond as well on the bass as they do on the smaller instruments.
Could you give us just an illustration?
Yes.
Well, thanks very much, Mr. Kalina, for an interesting demonstration of your instrument. And we'd like to add also to our scrapbook today an interesting anecdote which comes to us from Mrs. Raymond Tate of Hebron, Indiana, which has to do with the famous singer Schumann Heink. I believe it took place in Chicago during a rehearsal of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. She was coming to the conductor's podium. As you recall, she's very statuesque. She pushed aside a few orchestra stands, and the aisle left for her passage seemed to be not large enough. And the conductor, seeing her plight, raised his voice and said, "Come sidewise, madam, come sidewise." She stopped in her tracks and looked at the conductor and said, "Mein Gott, look at me, I have no sidewise." And thanks to Mrs. Tate for an interesting addition to our anecdotes.